Hello and welcome to the sixth episode of the Strat of Talk Show. Today's guest is Miss Bilbrey. Today we will be asking her a series of questions and then we will ask a class whenever they have any questions to add.
So Miss Bilbrey, where are you from?
I am from the U.S., from the state of Washington. I tell everybody I'm from Seattle, but I'm really from a small town about an hour outside Seattle that usually people haven't heard of.
Did you study there, or did you move out to do your education?
I moved there when I was about 9 years old, and then we stayed there, and so that's where my family's lived ever since. So I went to school there since fourth grade, all the way through college.
So you did your degree in education there as well?
Yes, at the University of Washington. That's also in Seattle.
So you were about an hour away from home?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was this like your first teaching job, or were you in a
After I finished school in Seattle, I got my first teaching job at a local junior high school in my hometown. So this was grade 7, 8, and 9, and I taught English there in those three grades for 4 years. And then I found out about an opportunity to teach at an international school in Korea, where my mom is from. And this was also a suburb about an hour or so south of Seoul. And it was a very big international school that had expanded so much that they needed to build a new school. So this was a second campus. And they needed to hire jobs for basically every grade and subject. So I got a job there, also teaching in the middle school, so grades 6, 7, and 8 at that time. And I was there for 6 years. And then I found out through a colleague that I'd had when teaching in that school in Korea that Strodoff had opened. And I then decided I wanted to leave Asia and get a job teaching in the middle of Europe, which Frankfurt basically kind of is. And I wanted IB experience. And so I came here to teach MYP English. And this was, I think it was MYP 1 through 5 my first year, both language and literature and language acquisition at the time. And so that's why I've been here since then. So that was in 2012. So I've been here almost 13 years now.
Have you only ever been like an English teacher or?
In back home and in Korea, yes. And then initially here also English, but I've also taught, like I said, language and literature, language acquisition and English, but I've also taught design for several years. So I was the head of design for a couple of years. 1 year, I think I only taught design, just design. So yeah. And for a few years, I've also taught DP, English, language and literature.
So
those
right,
two main subjects, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right now, if you could basically teach a different subject, mm-hmm. like other than English, mm-hmm. right now, and you weren't allowed to teach English,
okay.
what would you teach?
Well, if I wasn't allowed to teach English, or if I got the chance to teach another subject, I also got certified to teach history in the secondary grade. So I would teach MYP Humanities if I could have that opportunity. I think I would choose Humanities.
So, and now, this is always an interesting one. Okay. If you had to switch places with one staff member in school, uh-huh. who would it be?
With one staff member in school, I might switch with a primary teacher just because since my student teaching, I haven't taught in the primary grades. So maybe I would teach in PYP 5. I think that would be pretty interesting.
If you could add any subject that is not in the school right now okay. to the MYP curriculum with no questions asked from anybody, okay. what subject would it be?
Oh, what subject would I add?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hard to say because I don't feel like there's a lot that's missing because even when I taught design, it was a combination of different other subjects.
Like as an individual subject, mm-hmm. it could be like a bit of one class and then just make it its own.
I might add a computer science class. So it was all related to that. Because in design, it's not just computer technology, but I might have that because I think that a lot of students might be interested. And I would consider maybe, yeah, going in that direction.
So now on to the ATL section. What's your opinion? What's your general opinion on ATL schools?
My general opinion on them. Okay. I think they're very important, and I think they're great as an added focus because they apply to all subjects and also to classes like CARE, which is not a class you get a grade in, but you still need to use and develop your ATLs in the CARE classes as well. It's about character education. It's about social knowledge, how we treat each other, how we work together. And you can apply them, like I said, to any subject. And they go beyond normal classroom learning. It's kind of that untaught yet still very, very important area. And I often talk about the approaches to learning in general, with parents especially, related to how you guys see your role as a student in the school. Shows how much you care about your learning experiences, how you approach your assignments, but also how you approach your interaction to your learning. So I think they are vital and very important.
Do you think that like schools that are not IB schools should also introduce the ATLs, even if they're not going to switch to IB?
I think they should definitely consider it, because whether they call them ATLs or something else, I think that especially if they have any kind of a homeroom situation where they have a curriculum about, again, that kind of communication, collaboration, time management, study skills. In the other schools I've worked at, we had some of those kinds of classes, some of those kinds of lessons through homeroom. And they were still, I would say, addressed there, even if they didn't have the same name. So they do kind of exist in other schools. So I definitely think that they would be important to focus on there too.
What ATL skills do you think that you need, like, at work every day?
I definitely need self-management. That goes to like managing my time, remembering when meetings are, remembering when my classes are. It changes every week, so you can't just expect, like, you guys have a timetable, you know where you're going for every lesson every week. My schedule's not like that, so I definitely need to show self-management to make sure that I'm not forgetting those important things. Also, I keep weekly to-do lists, and sometimes it's daily to-do lists that I like to check off. So I'm someone who likes to be organized. And I use communication skills every day, I would say, in writing, you know, in email form, or speaking in meetings, teaching in my classes. So I think those are the ones that I use the most.
Do you think that MYP should have more of a balance between the ATL skills that we primarily focus on in CARE and the IB learner profile that the PYP focus on?
Yes, because I feel like once you get into the MYP, sometimes we forget that the IB learner profile attributes are still present and that they're still there and they're part of your learning, part of being in an IB school all the way until you finish in DP2. So yeah, you're right that they're not, I guess, focused on as much, like deliberately, but they're still supposed to be there. I was helping the MYP5s finishing up their personal project last week, and that's a requirement for the IB that everybody does at the end of MYP5. It's similar to kind of the exhibition project that you do at the end of PYP5 to finish PYP. And in the report that they write, everybody writes like a 15-page single-spaced report. It's very official document. But it's not just like a journal of what you did for your project, but it's also reflecting on how you have used the ATL skills to develop as an IB learner. And you will still be using those learner profile words in your report in MYP. So even if it might not be directly taught or talked about all the time in your classes, just know that it's still there. And
you can also, please come to reception to be picked up.
If you also feel, sorry, that it's important, maybe you guys can also come up with ideas about how we can make sure that they are staying alive throughout the MYP too, right? So we don't forget about them.
Now, we're going to flip the question around.
Okay.
Do you think that PYPs should, like upper PYP, so that they can understand the vocabulary, should be taught about ATL skills?
For sure. I mean, I also know that they are part of primary school life. I have talk with colleagues who have had special workshops and trainings in the ATL skills, and that we definitely want to be able to promote them and teach them throughout the whole school. They might also call it something a little bit different in the primary. Did you actually, were they talking about ATLs at all in when you were in public?
No, it was literally just learner profile.
Learner profile. Okay, okay. Yeah, so I definitely think that some whole school ATL development would be good.
And here we have a completely new subject now. What's the best advice that you would tell your younger self when you were around our age?
Around your age?
Yeah, so like 12, 13, 14,
right? That, MYP2, yeah. Around 12 to 14, maybe some of you are also maybe pushing 14. Okay, well, life for me as a 12, 13-year-old was very different back in like the old-timey times, right? Some of your parents are probably similar to my age, I would say. And so we didn't have a lot of the things that you guys have. We didn't have the internet yet in such a way that you guys have it. So what was the question again? What would I...
Yeah, what would you tell yourself?
At that age. Well, I had a very positive childhood, and so I probably wouldn't tell myself too many different things. Work hard in school, enjoy your time with your friends, because you only get one childhood. So you need to enjoy it in real life with the people who are important to you. And that's what I did. So I wouldn't say anything different, I think. That's also what I would say to you guys, too. Yeah.
So everybody remember that.
Remember that.
For when you're old.
Real life. Because when you're my age, you're going to look back and say how different it was then. Who knows what's going to be coming, right, in the next 30 years.
We're going to have flying cars. Years.
Maybe flying cars. Maybe teleportation. That would be nice. No lines at the airport, you know. Mm. But you're going to look back and say how simple life was then, and you're probably going to wish that you had done more when you could at the time. In real life. Not through a screen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's not real.
If you could move anywhere in the world... Like, except for where you are now, and okay. At home.
Okay.
So we're doing, like, two
okay.
Vetoes.
Yeah.
Where would you move?
Probably Hawaii, just because most of my mom's family lives there, so I got to spend a lot of time there growing up. And the Hawaii I know is not, you know, the beach, luau, surfing, vacation Hawaii. It's really connected to my family, so it's kind of like a second home. But if I can't choose that because it's kind of like home to me.
Victoria Friedrich, please come to reception to be picked up. Victoria Friedrich, please come to reception to be picked up. Thank you.
I do like being on islands because I like being by the ocean. So I might say an island somewhere, like in the Mediterranean. But I don't enjoy super hot weather, so I didn't think I'd like to live there all year round. So someplace near water. Maybe a lake, but I don't know about a specific, like, you know, location or country.
Wait, what house are you in, like, school-wise? Are you in Waterhouse, or...?
I am in Waterhouse.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Waterhouse the best area. What do you think about the house contests that a school used to have, the house competitions?
I liked them. I was, when I was in my first year here is when we started the house system. Mm-hmm. And I was the head of Waterhouse at the time. And we had competitions 4 times a year, and each house organized each competition. There was, and Mr. Von Baker remembers these days too, and so does Ms. Campbell, I think. There was a sports day. There was a trivia contest day. There was a talent show. And there was a, I think, the house run, the fun run, which I know we still do.
The fun cross run. Country run.
That, like, yeah. in the forest.
Where yeah, where you had to run.
Like yeah, yeah, that. So that is circle. One that has yeah. stayed pretty much every year. But we had 4 house competitions, and everybody was involved. They wore their house shirt, their house colors, and those were fun. Mm. So... Yeah, it would be great if we could try to bring something like that back again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because like since COVID, absolutely.
Yeah, I think that had a lot to do with it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We want to bring back more assemblies, and we want to have more house
events.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, do you think that how we behave or how we act in school right now will affect our future lives?
Yes, because having taught kids your age, you know, when I said I worked in junior highs and middle schools, they were usually around 13. I've always taught 13-year-olds in some way, except this year I taught the older kids. And I've always said that some of the choices you make now as a teenager can impact or affect your futures and the rest of your lives, because this can be a very confusing time. You don't always know where you fit in or who you are or who your friends are, what you want to do with yourself. And a lot of that can change, sometimes even weekly. I see that I'm looking right now, girls on one side, boys on the other, because you're still at that age where you don't like each other yet. But that's normal, right? That's part of that phase of your life and where you are in your life. But as you grow up in the next couple of years, especially by MYP4, the classes you start choosing will directly impact important decisions that you make in school, and if you choose to study outside of school, and if you choose a job in that area, right? Also the friends that you make. Some of them may be your friends for many, many, many years. But also like who you are as a person, those kinds of choices, what you feel is important, what your parents feel is important, because everything that you bring to school comes from what is going on at home. That's true too. That also will impact you. So it's very important time in your life. And it's always interesting to see who starts thinking about these things and at what age. And girls versus boys, when they start thinking about these things, and the ages too. Yeah, so, yeah, it's a confusing time. I know you're not always happy with how you look, and, you know, your arms and legs and your feet are growing faster than the rest of you, for some of you. But that's part of growing up. After MYP3, things start getting a bit clearer and a bit better, I think. So you guys got to hang it in there for another year. You're reaching your most awkward stage. And the middle of MYP3 is going to be maybe the most tricky in all these areas, like socially, school, and everything. But if you think about what matters most to you and you have the support from your teachers and your parents, then you're going to be fine.
Yeah. Does the class have any questions?
I saw somebody had a hand up. Yes, yeah. Sir.
What's IB program for you?
What do you mean?
IB like, program.
What I think what he's trying to ask is, like, what does the IB program mean to you personally?
Oh, well, I actually did my first IB teacher workshop for English before I even worked here. This was when I was still in Korea. I went to a workshop because I was curious, right? So it's definitely a program that lets you be very curious and lets you ask questions. That's why it's all about inquiry-based learning, right? You get to ask questions. You don't only have to memorize answers. So I think that is what I like about it the most. And things can change every year. I don't ever teach the unit the exact same way every year because it depends on the kids in the class that year too. Maybe they need to develop certain skills before certain activities or assessments can happen. So it's about always getting the chance to change what you teach and then how the kids learn too. So I like the flexibility. So it's about asking questions, it's about flexibility, it's about seeing things from more than one's perspective as well, right? Because every kid brings something that they know. That's why I also like having a very diverse student population in this school. Not everybody is from America, or not everybody was from Korea, not everybody is from Germany. Right, it's very, very international. So that makes us a real international school. And that's also why I teach in an international school, because I like those elements. Yeah.
Are there any further questions?
No.
No. Okay.
I think we have one more follow-up question. Yes, dear.
What is your favorite subject?
English.
English?
There's a reason why I teach it. Yeah, it was always my favorite subject in school. Yeah. Yes, Basa?
When you were in Korea, did you learn any Korean?
I can't say that my Korean improved so much in the time I was there. I would say that it was obviously already familiar to me, because I actually spoke Korean before I learned English when I was very little, when I was 1-2 years old, when you start learning how to talk. But then I was only taught in English in school, and so I didn't practice my Korean language as much. But we were at a big international school, like I mentioned, and we had a lot of Korean support staff who would handle a lot of things for us. So you didn't have to speak it as much. I would say when I came here to Germany, I had to learn some German because I didn't have that, you know, those people doing everything for me. I had to learn how to communicate myself. So this to me felt like my first real international kind of living experience as well. So, I mean, I could communicate, but I took Korean for a few months and then I just kind of got tired of it. It was like a night school class. So, yeah, because I already could speak some of it. Yeah.
Carolina, what's your question?
If you need to, mm-hmm. which subject would you like take out of this school? Like, which subject is the worst for you?
The worst for me?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. That's more a question maybe for you guys, because you're in the classes, right? You are in the lessons and subjects. I think that they're all equally important, so I don't know if I would take anything out. It's maybe more of how they might be changed a little bit. Depending on what skills that we decide that you guys need the most. I knew that I did not like science personally, but I would never say let's take out science because it's important. You know, same thing with PE. I didn't love sports classes, but I wouldn't say let's take it out because you also need to learn by moving. And PE involves a lot of other important skills like communication that I mentioned. So I knew which classes I liked and didn't like personally when I was your age, but...
What were those?
The science and PE. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wait, sorry.
Yeah.
Are there any further questions? No? Okay.
Okay.
Then that's it for today. Thank you for coming, Ms. Bilbrey.
You're welcome.
And we can clap one more time.